Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Fantasy Throwdown Podcast, bringing you the latest updates from the world of sports, gambling, and pop culture. Because you can't have a show without hot takes or a Tiger King meme these days. Know what I'm saying? Now, with over 200 episodes and ready to get after it again, here's your host, Dwayne Callender.
Hello and welcome to the show, folks. Gotta talk Super Bowl. Got a lot going on to cover with this one. Obviously, we touched upon part of this last week, but now with the game on hand, let's get into some of the prop bets that will be talked about, because I know many of you are still going to be having virtual Super Bowl parties and talking through with folks, so just kind of give the lay of the land of things to look out for as you're kind of settling things up. Obviously, you know, folks always want to bet on the coin flip. I mean, it's a coin flip. There's nothing scientific about it whatsoever. But, you know, it is kind of what it is in terms of fan entertainment. Now, you know, there's many theories on the Gatorade colors that will permeate, whether it's going to be orange or yellow. But realistically, again, much like the coin flip, the Gatorade color is also one of those prop bets that you cannot put a finger on, because realistically, they know it's bet on. So they randomize the entire sample ahead of time to make sure that you can't get a bead on what the color is going to be. So again, it's just completely just out there with randomness that you'll get the color right. So, you know, much like Super Bowl boxes, national anthem, Gatorade color, some of these prop bets, you know, you're just leaving it up to chance. So what are some of the props you should be looking for to take advantage of? And, you know, I definitely think there are certain aspects that you can take a look at with a score line of this being 56 total, and a lot of people kind of weighing in on the over between Kansas City and Tampa Bay. You know, with this game, it is very likely you're going to see a significant touchdown of length. So the longest touchdown prop, I've seen certain lines at books go for a score over 37.5 yards, 38 yards, even as high as 39.5. But I honestly think that a touchdown score being over the 39.5 yards, I definitely think that's a reasonable play here. When you're talking about teams with as much speed on both sides of the football between Kansas City and Tampa, you got Tyreek Hill, you've got Antonio Brown, you got a Chris Godwin, you know, you've got burners, like even a guy like DeMarcus Robinson, who's been held out for COVID-related concerns. Mecole Hardman, Scotty Miller on the Tampa side. There are enough burners on both sides that, you know, realistically, I can foresee a very real scenario of someone's going to take a pass to the house. And, you know, I just kind of look at it from the standpoint of, you know, with these offenses, high scoring, you know, there's going to be one blown coverage and someone's going to take advantage of it. I think, you know, having a touchdown over 40 yards is a very, very reasonable expectation. Now, the over bet is minus 167. And again, you could chop around for different numbers with various books to get it lower or lower yardage. But I think it's very likely. I think the line is a little bit under where it should be. I think this is a, one of those bets where realistically it probably should be closer to minus 250 at a minimum to minus 300 with a touchdown over 40 yards. There's just too much speed on both sides of the football that I'm not even limiting it to just Kansas City. I think Tampa can catch a KC's defense by surprise. You know, they are going to want to blitz Brady and get pressure. There is definitely a real possibility that Kansas City catches, that Tampa Bay catches Kansas City on a blitz and takes one to the house with the talent that they have at the wide receiver position. There's nothing necessarily stopping them from beating them on a play. So, again, this is just one of those bets where I just think that there's enough value there that you can definitely take the over and kind of go from there, because I think, you know, realistically, the probability is higher than what the line is leading you to believe. All right, so we got to talk about this because a lot of folks are going to be asking about the, this individual for different props and DFS plays and whatnot, and that is Rob Gronkowski. And, you know, everyone loves Gronk. I mean, Gronk is a future Hall of Famer, without a doubt, first ballot. You know, there's nothing wrong with Rob Gronkowski. Now, the issue here is the fact that the way Gronk is utilized in Tampa Bay is being a glorified blocker. I mean, the fact of the matter is that people see Rob Gronkowski's name in a Super Bowl with Brady and think that he's one of Brady's favorite targets and he's going to get a ton of action. That would normally be the case. But the way Tampa's offensive line is structured, and given Tom Brady's age of 43, he can't take those hits anymore. He cannot take hits. So what they do to keep him upright is, and this is a testament to Gronk, Gronk is literally sacrificing all of his stats for the betterment of the team and just being a pure blocker and not going out on pass routes. Gronk goes out on less than 20% of pass routes in the second half of the season for Tampa Bay. He just doesn't go out for pass routes. Cameron Bray is, for all intents and purposes, the receiving tight end when they do two tight end sets. Cameron Bray at least is getting out on pass routes 40-40, depending on the first half of the year, it was at 40%. Now that number is creeping up a little bit over 50%. So, you know, again, on those routes where they're running two tight end sets, it's Cameron Brake going out. It's not Gronk. And people are going to get sucked into this by just seeing Rob Gronkowski's name and seeing that, you know, his receiving, because what was the prop at? The under the over under line on Rob Gronkowski's receiving yards for the game is at 32.5 yards. And people are going to say, it's Gronk. What do you mean I should be not expecting Gronk to at least go over 32.5 yards? Folks are just going to have it in their heads. They've seen Gronk do this in Super Bowls and come up with great catches. But, you know, you got to look at it from the perspective of how he's being used. And that's the thing. You know, in terms of catches, Gronk really is not going to get that many opportunities to catch the ball. He might get some red zone targets, but if we're looking at the actual lines for how many catches Gronk is going to see, you know, we're looking at probably maybe two targets. That's about it. Like three max, but like that's realistically kind of where it is for Gronk. It, you know, at this stage, he's not going to get that many targets. So, you know, it kind of begs the question, you know, at 2.5 receptions, are you going over or under? And for me, I'm going under. You know, he just doesn't have that many opportunities to go out and catch passes unless, you know, we're in a blowout situation for the Chiefs and Tampa's playing from behind. Then you might actually see Gronk. So, like, if you're actually betting on Gronk from a prop perspective, you're actually hoping for more of a blowout from the Chiefs than an actual close game. Because if it's a close game, Gronk's going to be utilized more as a blocking tight end and not going out for pass routes. And that's the thing. And even if Tampa gets behind, I don't think they use the two tight end sets. I think they just use Gronk and then use the wide receivers, and Gronk still stays behind to block. So there's very limited game script situations where I can see Gronk getting an opportunity to catch three passes tonight. It really is difficult to see that scenario. So again, Gronk could be still make a Pro Bowl, in my opinion, on certain teams. He still, you can see him when he's running, like, he doesn't have the juice anymore where he could, and I don't mean steroids, I mean, you know what I mean, in terms of the burners to, like, bounce off of tackles and get down the field. Like, he doesn't have that kind of burst anymore, but he can still be productive, get tough catches. But realistically, the value he brings to this team is for his pass blocking because of the age of his quarterback and knowing that he has an immobile quarterback. They have to keep Tom Brady upright. So Gronk's best contribution to the team, and he's willing to do it, God bless him, is being a pass blocker. And that's why Gronk, to me, is a terrible play from a DFS perspective for the Super Bowl, because there just isn't enough opportunities. You know, I would say you look at a Cameron Brate, because if you're looking at Brate instead of Gronk, and the props kind of support this as well, you know, Brate's the one that's got the over under props that are more in favor of being over 2.5 catches. And even Brate, I still wouldn't put that much on Brate having a monster game, because to me, this game is predicated on, is Antonio Brown healthy? And that's the bottom line. If Brown is healthy to go, this matchup against the Chiefs is where he should shine. Because realistically, 42 yards, and I'm sorry for jumping around, but 42 yards for receiving yards for Antonio Brown is nothing if he's good to go. So to me, the play is, he's got to, you know, if I'm looking at the Tampa side and knowing that they need to win, the play would be on Antonio Brown out of all of Tampa's receivers. Out of all their receivers, I'm looking at Antonio Brown the most to be the beneficiary of going up against this Chiefs secondary, because he can catch it short. He can get vertical. He's a more explosive receiver than Chris Godwin. And Chris Godwin is an excellent receiver, too. Don't get me wrong. Chris Godwin's receiving yards prop is priced right around 67.5 yards. Chris Godwin can definitely get there. I'm saying, if we're doing props, and I'm looking at it from a game script of who has the best ability to smash a prop, if they're good to go, it's Antonio Brown. Now, if Antonio Brown is still limited, he's going to crash and burn out. This is a high-risk, high-reward kind of play, but he's the kind of guy who I think, if he's good to go, with the line being at 42, I think if you can get a prop of 70 over 70 yards and you can get a decent line on it, take the line on Antonio Brown instead of taking a prop on Godwin to go over 70 yards. Because from the Tampa receiving core side, I think in terms of yardage, they're going to keep this game competitive. It's AB, it's Godwin, and then it's Mike Evans. Mike Evans is going to play a very important role in this game. but I don't think it's from a receiving yardage standpoint. Mike Evans has to be the red zone target receiver to get to draw away attention from everyone else on Tampa and to draw penalties on KC secondary. Because if Tampa's going to stay in this game, I don't think they can win a track meet with the Chiefs. They're going to have to find ways of manufacturing offense, and I think they can manufacture it with drawing penalties on the Chiefs' defense. And to me, the receiver most likely to be able to do that in matchups because of how physical he is and hand fighting wise, it's Mike Evans. He's one of the most physical receivers in the entire league, and he's been doing it a long time, and he has the respect of the refs to be able to draw those penalties. To me, Mike Evans, from a real life football standpoint, incredibly valuable to this game. From a fantasy perspective, I want almost nothing to do with Mike Evans. Will I have some exposure to him? Yeah, that's definitely a play. But from a prop perspective, I'm trying to avoid anything Mike Evans related because I just don't see the receiving yards going in his favor. If I'm taking guys from a receiving yards standpoint, I'm focusing on the Chiefs. I'm taking Travis Kelce. The prop line of him getting to 100 yards, I think it's a slam dunk for Kelce to easily blow past that. And actually, looking at it now, it's even crept over 100 yards, which it should be. I think when it was originally at like 90, I think it was at 96 is when I started hitting that prop. It's too low. I think Travis Kelce, because they're going to concentrate so much on trying to limit Tyreek Hill over the top, Travis Kelce should have an excellent day against Tampa's defense. It's just, the matchup is too good against Devin White for Travis Kelce not to get to 100 yards of receiving today. If Kelce doesn't get to 100 yards, the Chiefs are struggling because I think the Chiefs are going to try to concentrate as much as they can. And even then, I still think Tyreek Hill is a viable option from a reception standpoint. Maybe not receiving yards, but from a reception standpoint, I think the Chiefs are going to try to get Tyreek Hill the ball in space. And even if you look at some of the props for rushing yards, there were some rushing yard props for Tyreek Hill in some markets if you can see it in the sports book, there were some Tyreek Hill rushing yard props for if he could get over 6 yards rushing. I definitely can see the Chiefs doing some reverse jet sweep plays with Tyreek Hill and getting him involved as much as possible to kind of throw off Tampa's defense, because I just don't think this is a running game for the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs kind of, by and large, unless they're inside the red zone, I think they kind of abandon the run game and focus strictly on the passing game. So I really like Mahomes' passing attempt props, completions props. I just think that this is a passing game for the Chiefs. And, when you're looking at it, I just don't see where... from a reception standpoint, Kelce and Tyreek Hill don't factor in to that in a big way. Kelce, I think, is a lock for 10 catches today. So to me, when I see props of 8.5 or 9 catches for Kelce, I just hit those early and often throughout the week. But to me, those are the kind of plays you should be looking at, because it's just too much of a reasonable matchup. I can't see Tampa trying to lock down Kelce and letting Tyreek Hill go free. They got to pick their poison. One of them, they got to pick their poison on who they'd rather have man-to-man coverage. And, at the end of the day, Travis Kelce is a beast, and he can carve you up. But Tyreek Hill is so fast that he can blow past everyone in the secondary, and he's too dangerous to let get off. And that's what happened to the Bills. They, Kelce had his way with them in the first half. The Bills then decided, okay, we're going to switch it up and actually bring folks in and try to contain Kelce, and then Tyreek Hill went off in the second half. It's just too dangerous, and the game was over by then. It's just too dangerous to give Tyreek Hill options. So to me, the two guys that I think are going to be able to benefit the most out of this and would be looking at it from a props perspective would be Travis Kelce and Sammy Watkins. Sammy Watkins, for all intents and purposes, is supposed to be good to go for the Super Bowl. We don't have the official word yet on Watkins being cleared, but, you know, from all intents and purposes, Sammy Watkins should be able to clear his yardage prop of 37 yards. I think he's good for 40 yards, 40 to 50 yards today, and kind of go from there. But, you know, if for some reason Watkins can't go, then you're going to be looking at a Mecole Hardman again. But, you know, that actually kind of changes up the dynamics if Watkins can't go. Because if Watkins can't go, which has been the case in most of the playoffs, the Chiefs offense doesn't necessarily run as much of their zone-based play. So they've been kind of limited more in terms of just doing all-or-nothing plays, which is what you saw against the Browns and the Bills. Now, granted, in the Browns game, Mahomes got hurt in the second half, so it changed up everything. But realistically, you know, when they go into that home run type mode, you know, they really start swinging for the fences. So it almost makes the Chiefs a little bit more dangerous when Watkins is out, because they get more aggressive with their play calling. Whereas if they have both their zone busters in, because, you know, what Kelce and Watkins are able to do is they find a soft spot in the zone that you're running, because you're keeping bracket coverage over the top on Tyreek Hill to limit the big plays. So that usually leaves some part of the middle of the field open for Patrick Mahomes, and usually the Chiefs offensive line is able to give Mahomes enough time to spot where Kelce and Watkins are going to be. So to me, that's where I just look at it as an easier prop to kind of go with. But I kind of look at this again. If I'm comparing head-to-head matchups, I'm taking the Chiefs guys versus I'm really taking the Chiefs guys versus almost all of the Tampa receivers outside of AB. If it's AB against someone, then we might have a different opinion. The only one that would be Kelce versus AB. Yeah, I'm going to give the edge to Kelce. But, I definitely look at this as a case where, you know, if I'm being realistic, you could definitely see a lot of exposure to the likes of Sammy Watkins, basically limiting the upside of plays such as Mecole Hardman or DeMarcus Robinson, just because they won't have enough catches to be that much of a difference maker. So on a prop side, you know, obviously keep an eye out for the active reports, but Watkins should be good to go. So I'm staying away from any props on Mecole Hardman and DeMarcus Robinson because of the Watkins news. I just think it's going to be too much of a difference. So, that's kind of where I'm looking at it from a game prop standpoint. I know everyone's focused on the length of the national anthem time. You know, here's what I'll say about the national anthem props, because people have been timing the practice rehearsals. You know, it's going to be done by, it's a duet with Eric Church and Jasmine. I'm blanking on her last name. If you have props on the national anthem, and you know it's a duet, here's the deal. I always take the over on national anthem links. Why? Because it's a national TV audience. It's the biggest audience that will ever see a singer in their entire lives. Of course they're going to be trying to hit every single note and stretch it for as much as they're worth, because they're never going to have a bigger audience listening to them sing the national anthem. I I just always got to bank on bet the over for the national anthem. And because this is a duet, you have to harmonize. So it just makes it more likely they're going to take their time with it. So to me, when you're doing these national anthem props, I'm not doing it this year because, you know, to me, we've had too many controversies on the length of Brave, like how long the accentuation goes. Like, there's just been too much drama. It's like, I can't be involved with drama over something so inane as the national anthem length. But to me, I would say bet the over on the national anthem length because it just makes way too much sense at that stage for you to focus on the actual singer just going over because it's a large audience, the biggest audience they're ever going to perform in front of. In basically every case of these singers, they are going to string out notes. That's just the way it's going to be. So bet the over on the national anthem and call it a day. And again, because some of you degenerates love this prop bet on the color of the Gatorade bath for the winning coach, the leader in the clubhouse right now is orange at plus 160, red or pink is at plus 350, with yellow, green, and lime also tied at 350, and clear at plus 500. There you go. No one knows what the Gatorade color is going to be. It's randomized for a reason, but I know folks get caught up with that. So that's going to do it. I'm going to do my main show, just covering the last thoughts on the Super Bowl picks and my DFS plays coming up later today. But that's all for now. So enjoy the game, everyone, and stay tuned.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Throwdown Podcast. Be sure to like and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and all other major outlets.